Okay. After that, you're supposed to have your formal sitting and walking meditation, followed by daily mindfulness training. We are the standing in contemplation, bowing, etc. as before. Okay. We still got about 20 minutes. We can do some reflection. I will read to you this Heart Sutta introduction. You turn to your Heart Sutta introduction page, Roman number 1, so that you understand the history behind all this Heart Sutta short note. This Heart Sutta is a series of short notes compiled from the weekly Heart Sutta meditation classes conducted by me. Okay, the introduction will explain to you the condition behind its arising. Sister Lee, you all call her Sugek or Agek, had in the year 2012, January, invited me to visit Wuping Qingshe Vihara. This is a Mahayana Vihara in Section 11. And it was during this visit that Sister Lee had requested me to conduct this weekly Heart Sutta meditation class at Wuping Qingshe Vihara. The first Heart Sutta meditation class commenced on the 12th of February 2012. I still remember, after Chinese New Year. And it continued till the 19th of May 2013 for a period of about 15 months. This was then followed by the weekly Satipatthana Sutta meditation class. So this Satipatthana, we are still having it. I think we are going to finish soon. Initially, short notes were taken by Sister Lee and forwarded to Brother Teo, which was me, for editing, before using it for sharing at the next Heart Sutta meditation class. And this was how the Heart Sutta meditation class short notes come about. Many Kayanamita who had attended the classes and had found the short notes to be very beneficial and rather useful. Hence the reason why they had suggested that it be compiled into a book, so that it can also benefit others who had the affinity to receive them later. These short notes can also help those of the Theravada tradition to have a better understanding of the Heart Sutta teaching of the Mahayana tradition, because Brother Teo had managed to link the Heart Sutta teaching to all the various essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition, so that Dhamma practitioner and cultivator can have a much better understanding of both traditions' teaching and see clearly how they are related to each other. Vertio had also managed to link and explain clearly how all the essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition comes about, and how they are connected to each other, thereby making it much easier and to understand the essential dhammas. How they are connected to each other, thereby making it much easier to understand. In fact, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is just the Four Noble Truths. And all the other teachings or essential Dhamma are like branches or spin-off from there. It has always been my sincere intention and wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth and cultivators will be able to make use of this enclosed Heart Sutta meditation short notes to develop a better and clearer understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous and wiser human beings that can be of blessings to all. As these short notes were compiled only Sorry, as these short notes were mostly only important pointers as prepared by Sister Lee for my editing. As such, it may not be as complete as compared to the recorded talks. Hence, it is hoped that readers who want to benefit more will listen to the recording so as to have a clearer and more complete understanding of what has been shared. For those who want to listen to the recording, they can download the talk from the various Dropbox links. So the link, the detail, they have to contact either Sister Lee at the email or Brother Sui An at his email to get the Dropbox link. Then turn the next page, acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this Heart Sutta Kamdhamma meditation class short notes be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kayanmita who has donated and helped out in the compilation, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Lee Suge, who had personally taken the initiative to prepare all the short note pointer for my editing, and also Sister Padma Suri, Brother Tune, Sister Ingby, Sister Ellen, and Sister Manjuan for their very useful and rather important input, thereby enabling this Heart Sutta Dhamma book to have the condition to be printed for free distribution. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering, harms and danger, and may there be love, peace and joy deep within their hearts, so that the world will be a much more peaceful and better place, with greater harmony always. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all the Dhamma friends who had donated or helped out in one way or other to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations soon as possible, with metta always. This was dated 19th of February 2015, which is the first day of Chinese New Year. So this is a brief introduction and acknowledgement. I hope you all can rejoice, because all of Kayanamitas involved are also included, so you are included. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then later on, we will do some sharing on this, the contemplation part. Okay. Now I will maybe do another part of the reflection. This one is based on the Anandagiri. Anandagiri chanting book. This one is quite useful. They have a few discourse. But I will read to you the reflection on the five subjects, the five daily contemplation. The Buddha has actually reminded the monks that these are the five things that you have to reflect every day. And the meaning is very obvious, because these are the most important Dhamma that the Buddha wants you to constantly reflect on. It has a lot to do with the First Noble Truth Realities and the First Right View with regards to the Law of Karma. And that right view is very important, very powerful. It defines to you clearly what that right view is all about. Okay, you listen attentively. Yeah? The Buddha said you have to reflect every day. First is in Pali, Jara Damohi Jarong Anatito. The meaning is this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, decay, for he has not gone beyond old age and decay. Then the second reflection is Badi Damohi Bahim Anitito. This body of ours is of the nature to be sick or to be diseased, for it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. Then the third one is Marana Damohi Marana Anatito. This body of ours is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond dying. Then the fourth reflection is also very important. Sabehi me piyehi manapehi jnana bhavo vina bhavo. The meaning is, all that is my beloved and pleasing, they will become otherwise, they will come to pass. They will separate from me or us. Then the last one is the most important about the law of karma. Kama sakohi kama dayakto kama yoni kama bando kama patisan rano yam kama karisami kayanang va papakam va tasa dayakto bavisami. The meaning is, each and every one of us, we are the owner of our karma, heir to our karma, born of our karma, related to our karma, abide and supported by our karma. Whatever karma I do, for good or for bad, of that I will be the heir. Then the last verse is, evang amhihe abhihang pachave kitabang. Thus we should frequently reflect and contemplate, the Buddha said, every day. How many of you really do this every day? Nobody. Good. At least there are quite a number. This is very important. You know why you have to reflect and contemplate? So that this delusion, which is so powerful, especially self-delusion, sakkāditti, the attachment, clinging to this form and mind, thinking that it's you, is so powerful. If you don't reflect and contemplate every day to develop the contemplative wisdom born of the second turning, it's very difficult for you to transcend that sakkāditti, attachment or clinging. The reason why I say it helps you to overcome the first noble truth reality is you look at the first four contemplations. They are all related to the first noble truth reality. The Buddha actually proclaimed the four noble truths, which are the essence, the essence of his teaching. And these four noble truths are very important. Maybe later on, when we have time, I will go through with you all on this book, the seminar paper I gave. It explained very clearly the Four Noble Truths, essence of the Buddha's teaching, and how through an understanding of it can help you to develop the understanding of life, can liberate your mind, can bring about enlightenment. Can bring about so much benefits to living being. This five daily contemplation is to develop the initial wisdom so that when you are living your daily life, you can apply this wisdom Because the moment you have this understanding, you straighten your view and you are not deluded by it. Especially the first three regarding the form, the physical body. According to the Buddha, this body of yours, you check through mindfulness, heedfulness, you check. It's only made of element. There is no knowing. So it cannot be you. But because you have been using it for so long, unknowingly, you grasp, you cling, you attach. Just the moment this form of mind is born, people give you a name, an identity. Then you are identified as such. Then as you grew up, you are so conditioned by so much of this society's conditioning. First is from your parents or your guardian, people who look after you. Then from your education, the school, the kindergarten. Then as you grew up, the media, the religion, the culture, everything, they condition you. And this is how you actually develop. Then to you, this form of mind is so real. You find it so difficult to believe what the Buddha said, that this form of mind is not you. Just like the Buddha wants you to reflect, the reality of this form is what? Because it makes an element. No knowing cannot be you. This form goes the way of nature, the Buddha said. Not only you. Every living being that has a physical body, they are subject to the same law, nature's law. The nature's physical law and biological law. That's why I say you have to reflect constantly. This body of ours is of the nature to decay, to age, and to grow old, for it has not gone beyond. So that reality as it sets in, especially some of us who are not that young anymore, we need to accept this reality as it comes. Your ability to endure, to accept this reality, can bring forth great wisdom. Otherwise, if you attach and cling and worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying, you will have a lot of suffering. You will have a lot of misery, a lot of problem. So all this can help you. So you constantly reflect. Then when you are confronted with it, because you have reflected, you can accept this reality. Yeah, it goes the way of nature. I need to endure, I endure. Like last night, I think Suyan know he slept with me. Halfway through, because the temperature is so a bit cold today. But even with the sun around, without the sun it will be even colder. This morning Suyan showed me it was only 18.9 degrees Celsius. So it's really, really pretty cold, but it's nice weather. But because at night, the temperature has an effect on my nose. So I got like blocked nose middle of the night at about near to 1 a.m. I think. So these are the reality. Even in my state of mind that I understand everything, I still need to endure, understand not? What can I do? This is the form. So I relax and make do with it. Then Suyan was very kind, I think it's meant to be. This sister, Eva, she somehow message, the last year retreat also, he got this tipping on the nose on then make the nostril like can breathe on. So Suyan took out the toolbox. Actually, Mifeng also reminded me, he said, it's Suyan. Then when Suyan take it out, I said, never mind. I said, actually inside my mind, I tell Suyan, I endure it for tomorrow I use. Then he already took it out with the torchlight. I said, okay, I'll open up one box and I try. After I tape, it's so much better. So there is condition. So that's why after that I had a good rest. Then when I woke up at about 5:30, exactly 5:30, I felt much better. Then when I came in, some of you observed, my nose still a little bit running nose, and what they call a little bit of like want to block again. Then after the exercise, okay again. And then meditate better still. Now I'm like back to normal, okay again. So these are the things you need to endure, okay? So the first three reflections is about this body, where it goes the way of nature. It's of the nature to go old, get sick and die when the condition is such. Boy has not gone beyond that. So when you reflect and understand, then you don't go and worry about this body. This body is karmically conditioned out for you to use, to take you around, to arise the sense door consciousness, because the five senses are here, and the consciousness that is trapped inside due to karma have to experience all this. That's how karma has its way of causing you suffering and misery if you don't have wisdom. So this is part and parcel of karmic conditioning. So the form and mind come with karmic conditioning. So you have to develop the wisdom that this is karmically conditional for you to use, to make use of, to use to live life, to understand life. So there are two parts. The physical body acts like a vehicle to take you around and prepare the senses for you to experience the sense door consciousness, to experience life, to live life, to understand the world. That's why I ask you to reflect and contemplate. How do you know the world? How do you interact with the world? If you can reflect and contemplate and develop the understanding, then you know who you are, what you are. Then you realize without this physical body, without the senses and the consciousness, you cannot know the world. You know the world through what? Through consciousness, isn't it? Without your seeing consciousness, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness, you are like a vegetable. Understand? So, this is how you actually interact with the world, through your senses. How do you know the world? Again, through your senses. The senses is the base for consciousness. That's why this form and mind is a vehicle and tool. But these are conditioned arising entity. It's not an eternally unchanging entity where you can hold on to and cling on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore this can be mine. The Buddha say, no such thing. That's why you have to reflect, you have to contemplate. Then the fourth reflection and contemplation is about your attachment to your loved ones, to things that you hold on to dearly. So he said, all that is mine, which you think you own, beloved and pleasing, they were separate from you. They were dispersed when conditions used to be. All these are condition arising. When condition is there, they exist. Then temporarily, society's law and rules say you own. Then it's like you are the owner. But when conditions cease and change, it was separate. Then when your breath stops, your identity erased. Again, you don't own anything. This is to let you see the empty nature of existence. Not to attach, not to cling deludedly to all these things. There is such a thing as loved one, but you must understand they are also form and mind like you, no reality. Anatta, condition arising, cause of phenomena. So don't be deluded by it. You have a duty because there is law of karma. Apart from that, there is no other reality. So that's why you reflect and contemplate. Then through the understanding, you are not gullible, you are not deluded by it. Then you use them when they are still yours for the good of the many. Anasana. Like they say, all those things that you think you own, you don't know how to make use of them. When your breath stops, this is to be yours. Then it's not really yours. The other way of putting it is about your money. Money in the bank is never your money until you use it. Understand? Money in the bank is never your money until you know how to use it. Because when your breath stops, it's no longer yours, gone. So if you can make use of it, then there is some form of use while you are alive. Use it for the good of the many, to help yourself, to help others, to be a blessing to all. And that is what they call wise understanding. Do not worry about money. Do not be a slave to money. Do not work for money unnecessarily. You must have understanding. Law of karma is like that. So that's why the fifth contemplation is to teach you how to understand these great laws that governs all of life and existence. 99.999% of living beings' fate depend on karma. Because the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition is supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. There is no other thing that decides except your karma. If karma forms such a great role in your life, and you still don't see it, and neglect your karma, means you neglect your life, then you are going to be miserable when you are born into this world. Because everything you do has its cause and effect, cause and effect. That's why the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, condition is supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So if karma plays such a great role and you don't take care of karma, your life will be miserable, afflicted. And how do we take care of karma? We have to follow his advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Because evil constitutes negative karma. Wholesomeness constitutes good karma. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So all these are the reality of life and existence, following this law. That's why the teaching of the Buddha is very simple. In order to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind, the Buddha advised you to take refuge, keep your precept, develop mindfulness and heedfulness to be fully aware of what is going on, to straighten your view, not to be deluded. That's what the meditation is all about, the retreat is all about. So your focus is just to develop the spiritual faculty, to be fully aware of your mind state, the mental intention behind every action, every thought process, every speech and every movement in life. When you can see it clearly with mindfulness and heedfulness, you are beautiful. Then you have a possibility of change or transforming yourself following Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you can apply the four right effort to abandon the wrong thought, to prevent the arising of this wrong thought or wrong speech and wrong action and wrong livelihood. Then right effort to actually purify your action, speech and thought process to bring about wholesomeness. Then the right effort to refine upon others, right speech, right thought and right action that you have developed. So all this will bring about good karma. Then your life will be very blessed. These merits you can make use of to live the good life, the happy life. But to have wisdom to overcome the first noble truth reality, you still need to purify your mind to develop wisdom. Otherwise it's very difficult. Okay. So with this, I think I will end and you can continue with your meditation. Okay. Yeah, you can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So now you can start your meditation. 9 to 10:30. Formal sitting and walking meditation followed by daily mindfulness training. We are standing in contemplation, bowing, etc. as before. So I will come back at 10:30. You all do your own self-meditation. So it's up to you. You want to sit, you sit. You want to walk, you walk. You want to do reflection, contemplation, you do. You want to do bowing also, you do. But develop daily mindfulness, very important. Have faith. Okay.